Please turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read a portion of scripture from verse 16 down through verse 25. My text will be verse 21. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shot up unto faith, which afterward should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. There are many views of religion, and people will say, well, I have my beliefs. But the question is your belief what God tells us to believe? In other words, is your way God's way? Be assured, my friend, God's way is right. Now, contrary to popular belief, there are not many ways to go unto God. Not every path is right. God will not accept you just because you're sincere. Therefore, it is in our best interest to search the Scriptures in order to know what God's way is. Now, the verse before us gives us a principle whereby we can judge religion or the path to God, our beliefs. Well, we find it right here in our text. Now, the context of this verse assists us in proper understanding. So realize that Paul is writing to the churches in the province of Galatia. The apostle had traveled that area years earlier during his first missionary journey. The converts in their own communities began local churches and were instructed in the truth. They knew of the Savior, of salvation, and of the way of grace. But over the process of time and the infiltration of false teaching, some of those people were of the opinion that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And this book is Paul's letter to them correcting their error. Look back into chapter 1 briefly. Chapter 1, verse 6. Paul writes and says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So Paul writes to contradict or to teach them otherwise than that which they have come to learn about circumcision. Now here in the immediate context in chapter 3, Paul is discussing the promises given to Abraham and how that the law came 430 years after those promises. And one might ask, well then, did God make those promises based upon law keeping? Well, no, couldn't have. Notice carefully verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So God says, I'm promising something. The law came 430 years after. And so the promises are not by the law. So you might raise the question, well then, why did God give the law? Verse 19 says it was because of the presence of sin. Verses 22 through verse 24 tells us the law is used as a teacher to show us that we're sinners so that we would come to God by faith. Faith. Why faith? Because we cannot keep the law. And you might think, oh well, then the law is against faith. No, remember, the law is our teacher. It shows us our need of Jesus Christ. The law, in a manner of speaking, works in conjunction with grace, but only as a teacher, a signpost, if you will. The magnetic needle on the compass of life, and that needle always points to Jesus Christ. So our text then gives us a very precious truth that we all should cling to. Again, the latter part of chapter 3, verse 21. He says, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law. Great truth here. And what this tells us is God's way for life. Mark it down, my friend. See it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray for those that are sick that you would heal them, raise them up. Those that are traveling, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the lost here today, that I know that they have their own views of how they think they might be forgiven and how they might be able to access your presence. And God, since they're lost, their views are not yours. And so we ask that you would convict. We ask that you would draw the lost unto you, that today they might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation you've given to us. And Lord, help us to recognize these truths and embrace them clearly so that we can share them with others who are not understanding of the right way. Help us, O God, to be the witness we ought to be. So we commit this time to you today. We love you. We honor you. And we just pray that we would worship you during this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message out of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21 is God's Way for Life. Now, the first thing I would like to do is offer you some laws thought to give life. And you can find this across the spectrum of the world's religions and even within some professed aspects of Christianity. But as in this book of Galatians, which we've read within the text, some thought that circumcision was necessary to have eternal life. Well, you must believe, but you also must be circumcised. And so those Jews that got off the beaten track kind of had that concept. Well, that was a law that they thought was necessary to give life. And Paul writes to say, no, it isn't, that you don't have to be circumcised to have everlasting life. But so we find within the text, it's that simple law, that the circumcision of which they thought about that. But more commonly, let's think about the Decalogue. That I mean by that is the Ten Commandments. You know them. No, I have no other gods before me. No graven image before me. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. 10 laws that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai to direct man If you remember what we read in the text, you understand why he gave those 10 laws. But he gave them, and you know that there are many, many people in our society who believe that they get to heaven by keeping these commandments. They believe that if they can live a good life, treat their neighbor right, and do the best that they can, that God will let them into his glory. What this is law thought to bring life. Now, I'll just tell you right off and very quickly, and this is not my message, but I'll just tell you, you're already a sinner. You've already broken the commands of God. So even if you should be perfect from now on and never commit another one of these sins and be perfect in the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments, you'll still die and go to hell. Do you know why? Because you're already a sinner. And you need to mark that down and understand that. This law cannot get you into heaven. Circumcision cannot get you into heaven. There are other aspects that the world's religions and even some professed Christianity hold of laws that they think can get them into heaven. Things that if they do and they fulfill, that God will forgive them based upon that righteousness. What about the sacrifices? Those who offered up the animals, and they still do animal sacrifices in places around the world. Can killing an animal get you into heaven, my friend? It cannot. It's a law given to the Jews. I understand the sacrificial system. It was necessary, but it all pictured Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, and yet there are some in our society who still believe that they have to offer up the blood of an animal, and if they do, then God will forgive them, and it's all a system of works. It's a law that they must complete. Beyond that, you have the general laws and practices. If you look at the Old Testament scriptures, there are a lot of laws that God gave to Moses and to the children of Israel. And other religions have their own types of law keepers and law givers and things that they have to do. Well, general laws and practices. If you have to do a certain thing, you have to live a certain way, keep from doing certain things in order to have eternal life, you're a law keeper, my friend, and that will not get you into heaven. We read within the text, it's by faith. Don't want to jump ahead of myself, but it's by faith. You must believe. Baptism is another thing. There are many in our society, even among professing Christians, who will say that you have to be baptized to be saved. That believing in Jesus Christ is not sufficient, but you must have your sins washed away by water. That is not correct. That is a law that people bring in. Baptism, whether it's infant baptism or any other kind of baptism, is simply a law, and that law is not going to get you into heaven. It is not going to save you. Along with that, it's the idea of church membership, communion, any kind of activity like that. You got to be a member of our church in order to go to heaven. You have to join our church and always be a member, and if you get kicked out of our church, then you're out of heaven. That's a law. That's something that some man came up with and said you have to do in order to get to heaven. That's not what we read in the scripture. I don't minimize baptism. I don't minimize church membership. I don't minimize communion. But my friend, if I have to take communion to get to heaven, then you always have to keep eating that communion because the sacrifice is repeated over and over and over and over. There's never any into that. And what that means is you've never been washed. You've never been forgiven. If eating the communion can save you, then you only need to do it once. And so the thing is, all these things are just laws that people have come up with, even particular forms of dress. My former brother-in-law, he was in the Amish church and still is in the Amish church, but I remember my half-sister was going to quit the Amish, she's going to quit wearing the formal dress, you know, the bun, the long skirts and all that kind of thing. And they told her, if you stop dressing like this, you'll lose your salvation. It's a law that they must keep. Well, there's all kinds of religious rites, there's all kinds of ceremonies. And very frankly, my friend, if you just think about it, every religion boils down to either a system of works or a system of grace. And the only religion that I'm aware of in this world that is a system of grace is true Christianity. Every other religion around the world, even some facets of professing Christianity, it's a system of law keeping, a system of works. You have to do, you have to keep, you have to perform, and you must do it this way and that way, and keep on keeping it up. That's all law. And these are some laws that, well, you know, some people think gives them life. And it's very easy to tell, because if you're witnessing to someone and you just ask them, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say yes, ask them why. And a lot of times you'll hear, well, I've been baptized. Oh, you're going to heaven when you die? Why are you going to heaven? I joined a church. Well, you're forgiven of your sins? Yeah, I'm forgiven. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I keep the Ten Commandments to the best of my ability. You get the idea? And so it's a system of works. Now, what does the Bible say? What's God's way for life? First of all, I submit unto you that life is not by the law. When I say life, I'm talking about eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Life is not by the law. So if you're here today and you would say, but I believe I have to keep the commandments in order to get to heaven, you better listen carefully. If you say, I have to be baptized, or I have to be circumcised, or I have to join a church, or I have to give money, or I have to eat communion, or I have to live a certain way, and then I have forgiveness of sins, then my friend, listen close. Life is not by the law. For this, I'm going to back up prior to our reading into Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Very clear. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. My friend, you cannot be saved by the law. Turn, if you would, back to Romans chapter 3. Keep a finger in Galatians. We'll be coming back and forth. But Romans chapter 3. And while you're turning over there, I would also remind you that there are some aspects of professed Christianity that believe that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but then it's up to you to keep it. That yes, you're saved, you're forgiven, but now you have to live a certain way in order to hold on to it. That you have to keep yourself saved. That's a system of law works. Life cannot come by the law. I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And so the commandments are given. And you know what it's going to do? It doesn't give you an opportunity to boast yourself, to say, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I keep these things. It says it was given so that every mouth may be stopped, so that all the world may become guilty before God. My friend, you're guilty because you're a sinner, and you're a sinner because you've broken the commands of God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, get this, my friend, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. How much clearer do you want it to be? You cannot have eternal life by the deeds of the law. Verse 20, the last part of the verse, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave the law so that you would see that you're a sinner and turn to Christ. But that law cannot get you into heaven. Life does not come by the law. Go back, you might want to keep a finger in Romans, but go back to Galatians and chapter 2. We read this verse. And it's a kind of a lengthy verse, but just dissect it just quickly here. Verse 16. By the way, I forgot about verse 28 of Romans chapter 3. I don't want to forget that. Let me read that to you as you go back. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And the important thing is that a sinner needs to be justified. How are you justified? By faith without the deeds of the law. And that's clear, isn't it? I pray that you understand that. Now, Galatians and chapter 2, verse 16. I jumped ahead of myself. Knowing that a man, this is what Paul writes, 2:16. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Knowing this to be true, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Notice clearly, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That is so clear. So I submit unto you, as we think about God's way for life, that life is not by the law. Secondly, life cannot be by the law. Not only can you not get it by the law, the law can't do it for you. It just can't. Chapter 3, our text, verse 21. What we read, and notice Paul's statement here, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Notice those subjunctives there. If, verily, should. He says, if a person could get to heaven by keeping some sort of law, some sort of requirement, if that were possible, Paul said God would have done it that way. But he says it can't be that way. Because he said if there was, then righteousness should have been by the law. But God did not do it that way. Life cannot be by the law. A couple references. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, that's a reference to the Ten Commandments and the laws given through Moses to the children of Israel. It's called the First Covenant or the Old Covenant. And he says, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. You know, there's two covenants. There's an old covenant and a new covenant. The new covenant is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, and salvation by grace through faith. That is the new covenant. So the author to the Hebrews, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes and says that, you know what? There was a fault in the first covenant. If there wasn't a problem with it, then we wouldn't need the second. But there was a problem with the first. That's why we have the second. So back up to chapter 7. Hebrews 7, verse 18 says, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before. That's talking about the old covenant, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Now, you're going to have a balancing act. I'm coming right back to that next verse in just a second. But in doing so, I need to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Romans 8, 3. I will be coming back there, but look at this. Romans 8, 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now, what's the problem? We read in the book of Hebrews that, you know what? The law's got a problem going on. There's a fault with it. It's unprofitable. It needs to be disannulled. You know why? Because of the weakness of the flesh. God has given law. But the fact is, I don't keep it. And you don't keep it. You never have, and you never will. And besides, if you could from now on, as I've mentioned to you, you cannot go back and undo. You're already a sinner. You're a transgressor. Problem is, you're a sinner, my friend. Now, the law shows us that we're sinners. And because of the fact that there was fault with the law, that it was weak through the flesh, what did God do? He sent his Son. That in the likeness of sinful flesh, he would condemn sin in the flesh that we might have eternal life. Why in the world would you try to go back and try to get to heaven by keeping this commandment or that commandment or this law or this rite or this ceremony? It cannot help you. It will not help you. It's absolutely impossible. My friend, salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ, and it's received by faith. Can you see that? Now, if you can balance it out, Galatians chapter 3, once again, I submit unto you that life is not by the law. That was point number one. Number two, life cannot be by the law. Number three, life's direct relationship to righteousness. We read it in our passage. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. It's this matter of righteousness. As a sinner condemned, you need righteousness. Where are you going to get that? How are you going to get that? So in our text, he says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Do you see that the requirement for life is righteousness? Without righteousness, or as John says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. As a sinner, you need righteousness. How are you getting that righteousness? He said, if you could have got it by the law, God would have made it possible to give a law that you could have had it. But you can't get it by the law. And the law can't provide it. So if you balance that out well, Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Remember we read in verse 3, the law was weak through the flesh. So Christ came and he was condemned in the flesh so that sin might be condemned. Verse 4. Why did God do this? Verse 4. Romans 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Do you know how you receive the righteousness of God? It's by grace through faith. And if you don't have that righteousness, you're still lost, you're still condemned. And you can work on the law all you want, you can try to live a good life, you can do all these religious rites and ceremonies, you'll still die and go to hell and lift up your eyes being in torment forever. Do you know why? Because the righteousness of God comes through the provision of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't come any other way. And you say, well, what about all the religions of the world? They better get on God's plan. Because this is what God has said. Even those who profess Christianity and jump off on the works, they better change. Because no man gets to heaven by the law. Absolute impossibility. Did you balance the book of Hebrews still? Go back over to chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Remember we just read there in verse 18 and said that the commandment was weak and unprofitable? Hebrews 7:19 says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. That first covenant makes no one perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope. The second covenant, that's where we draw near to God. So go to chapter 9, book of Hebrews, verse 12. See it very clearly, my friend. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How is it I can be forgiven of sin? It's by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who gave up himself and gave up his life as a sacrifice so that I might have eternal life. And his blood, not the blood of sacrifices, not the blood of a goat or a cow, my friend, but the blood of Christ. And he went in to the great mercy seat in heaven and sprinkled his own blood for me. Why? So that I might be made righteous. So go back to Galatians chapter 2, if you would, please, and you can dispense with Romans and Hebrews. Galatians chapter 2. We read this verse before, but I must remind you. Verse 21. Paul writing to the Galatian people, and they were thinking they could get to heaven by circumcision. And he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Here's what Paul says. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So my friend, if you can get to heaven by keeping the commandments, why did Jesus die? If you can get to heaven by your baptism or communion or joining a church or giving of money or any other kind of rite, ceremony, religious sacrifice, anything you want to come up with outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, then why did he die? And Paul says, you know what? Righteousness doesn't come that way. And that's why Christ did die. I hope that you see that and hope you understand. So, as you go back to chapter 3, book of Galatians, my last point is this. The way for life is Christ. God's way is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Everyone else is wrong. You say that's offensive. Then be offended. My friend, God's way is right. God's way is life through Christ. Chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See that? Skip to verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Back up to verse 13. How is this accomplished? Verse 13, Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law don't give you life. It curses you. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That being said, go to chapter 6, book of Galatians. Here's what Paul summarizes as he finishes out his letter to them. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You know what the difference is? New life in Christ, being justified by faith, where God makes us new. So Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's by grace through faith. It is not by works. It is not by the law. The way for life is Christ and Christ alone. And it's received by faith. And it's given by grace. I think that's clear. It seems so to me. So our text says in 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Absolutely not. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So, but what about this? God forbid, he says. But keep this in mind. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Fact is, in closing, my friend, man is a sinner. He's dead in trespasses and sins. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And I know man has his ways which he thinks he can have life. And you might here today have your way. You think God's going to forgive you. And you think you're going to see God face to face. And you know what? You don't know Jesus Christ. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. There's only one way. And God has declared that way for eternal life. And that life is in His Son. Only in Jesus Christ. And that life is by grace through faith in Jesus. Because He it is who came from heaven, came to earth, took Himself a human body. He was crucified on the cross as a sinner, though He never sinned. He was buried. He rose again. He's alive. And you know what? He will give eternal life to all who believe. You say, oh, well then,
I'll be saved then and just live my life the way I want. And I'll just be a lawless person. Then you demonstrate you're not a new creature in Christ. Because new creatures in Christ don't have that perspective. New creatures in Christ want to follow Christ, want to be obedient. We're not perfect, but we have been forgiven. But my friend, today, the law cannot give you eternal life. The law cannot keep you saved. It's all through Jesus Christ. You must go God's way, or you will not go at all. Would you be saved today, sinner? Would you quit your self-righteousness? Would you repent and call upon the Lord? Would you trust Jesus and Jesus alone to save you? I pray that you will. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? We'll stand and sing. This gives you an opportunity to think about what has been said, and I pray that God is moving in your heart, that sinner you might be saved, that saved person you rejoice that you have eternal life, and you joy in these things, knowing that you're saved apart from your own works. Oh, that God would be honored and glorified during this time. Father, we commit this to you. We pray that you would save the lost and strengthen the saved. Pray that the word would be very clear today. Work it in our hearts by your Spirit, and so that you would receive the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We ask you to convict the lost. Let no one leave today confused about the way to you. May they certainly know, whether they believe it or not, but may they know the truth has been presented today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One number, Brother Paul.